And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are?
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, welcome to Audio Theater Central. This is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew.
This is episode 95. We're just five episodes away from the big 100.
Ooh. 100.
100. We're almost there. And we did get some suggestions in on what to do, so we'll talk about that a little bit later on in this episode. But we've also got a review of In the Reign of Terror from Heirloom Audio's Extraordinary Adventures of G.A. Hinty series. We've got some feedback from Victoria and Sarah Grace, a couple of audio drama tidbits, and a quite informative newscast.
It's like 3 pages long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's good. A lot happening.
You think you can handle this, Roy?
If not, Andrew can back me up.
Let's do it.
Heirloom Audio has released their latest G.A. Hinty adventure, Captain Bailey's Heir, along with an announcement of their new membership program called Live the Adventure Club. Saturday Morning Media recently wrapped up Season 2 of their short-form audio drama for kids called The Mysterious Mysteries of Toby Taylor, The Fruit Magician. Both Season 1 and 2 are available to download from their website for free. Audio drama newcomer Mirari Pictures bursts on the scene with an ambitious story, an adaptation of the classic horror novel by Robert Louis Stevenson, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The audio drama and original soundtrack are currently available as digital downloads. Coral Island Adventures has announced that Series 4, titled The Cyberspace Adventure, will be releasing in October 2017. The team is already recording episodes for Series 5, which will be called The Seafaring Adventure. That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy, reporting for Audio Theater Central.
A couple of little details on some of your news items here, Roy.
All right.
The Jekyll and Hyde adaptation that you referenced there from Mirari Pictures, there's a great review of that on the blog from our ATC contributor, Robert Thacker. If you want to check that out, link is in the show notes. And that also includes the links if you want to go purchase it. But it's a great review that he wrote of that. Also, The Mysterious Mysteries of Toby Taylor, the Fruit Magician. My pickup truck has a cameo in that series.
How excellent. Cool is that?
So I actually got to record a little bit of Foley for that that was used in one of the episodes in Season 2.
Nice.
Because, as it turns out, our mutual friend Christopher Green got hired on to do post-production for that show.
Nice.
Very cool.
Very cool.
He outsourced a couple some Foley effects of a truck window rolling down. So
that's really cool.
I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that in Slack.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The behind the scenes stuff you can only learn from Audio Theater Central.
That's right.
Exclusive.
And that's the news breakdown.
Right.
If you're listening to this episode close to the release date, Live the Adventure Club is actually offering an introductory price on their club membership. Right now, you can get the membership, which will include a digital and CD copy of Captain Bailey's Heir and all of the other content that's available through the club for $1 for a 3-month subscription. And we don't know how long this offer is going to be up. So,
jump on
take advantage of it while it lasts. Exactly.
You can't pass that up.
Yeah.
A dollar. A dollar. Behold. And then after that, it's $25 per quarter.
Yeah.
$24.95 per quarter.
We'll try to get more information about that. You know, how we did that kind of a walk through the club with Bob Smithhauser when the Odyssey Club first launched. We'll try to do that with the Heirloom folks and... We'll see if we can arrange that in an upcoming episode. But for now, let's continue with Heirloom Audio and jump into this review. In the Reign of Terror. Pretty apt title there.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Most of them are, but I mean, this one especially so.
Terror, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Released fourth quarter of 2016. It's about 2.5 hours long, and this one keeps you on the edge of your seat. Oh, my goodness. It's very compelling storytelling.
Yes, indeed.
Very much so. It's, I would say it's shades of darker than a typical
G.A. Hinty.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, while you're talking about it, why don't you go ahead and give us the summary there, Andrew?
In your best French accent, Andrew.
No, I'm waiting the apropos pause at the end of a classical music piece. Yes. You're supposed to stop before you applaud.
True. It's which no one pays
courteous.
Attention to, by the
no,
way.
No. They want to be know-it-alls and clap as soon as the last note is over.
They want to clap like right in the middle of everything before it's even the end of the song.
This is so true.
So what are you people thinking?
Rapid trail.
Yeah.
Let the effect.
Yeah, let it drain out.
Hang in. Let the moment breathe.
As soon as the conductor drops his hand, that's when you can clap.
And even at that, you're supposed to wait a couple seconds because the silence at the end of the music is part of the effect. That's part of the composition.
Exactly.
Come on, people.
Let it sink in.
So that's all I was doing.
Yeah. Even at the summer, our local community has a summer band that performs in the park. And, you know, there are certain pieces of music where a section of silence or a couple of beats is actually part of the composition.
Exactly. Yes.
And there's these people, uneducated yokels, who start applauding in the middle of the piece and it's not even over yet.
Oh, my.
Okay.
What will we do with this generation?
I don't know. But I do know that when 16-year-old Harry visits France, his journey plunges him into one of history's darkest times. The French Revolution. Chaos challenges Harry's faith as he struggles not only to survive, but to rescue the family who lovingly took him in as their own and who now face the guillotine for no other crime than their noble lineage. This audio adventure will leave you breathless as you follow one boy's journey from the crushing darkness of human pride to the hope and courage of God's loving light.
Splendid, splendid job there.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect summary. It pulls me right back into the story, and I can hear it starting to play in my head again.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me while I take a break here and listen.
The bookends were kind of interesting on this story, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I liked it. Oh, my goodness. I was
jumping up
sitting
and down.
But I was in, like that little boy who got told by his mother to sit down and had to receive, you know, corporal punishment in order to apply his seat to the chair. As he crossed his arms and looked at his mother and said, "I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up."
Yes.
So I was sitting down, but on the inside, I was jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Cheering as Mr. G.A. Hinty laid out a beautiful case for why the revered French Revolution in our socialistic, godless society is a travesty and nothing like the American Revolution. They're not even comparable at all.
Yep. Yeah. And several times they go back and forth and they talk about, even in the story itself.
Right.
They're like, well, isn't this like your Civil War? You're like, no.
I was
Not the Civil War.
American Revolution. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. American War for Independence.
Yes.
I got to stop calling it the American Revolution. That was, it was so refreshing. I loved the ideological insert into the story, and it was amazing, especially with the kid having the same impression that most people do, that the French Revolution was this amazing uprising of the proletariat and these poor people just getting back some of their own or whatever.
Yeah.
No, 1,000 times no. So I was very joyous over that.
Yep. And there's no Ned and Gerald in this one because Hinty is in America.
Right.
Yeah. So and there's Harry.
It's Harry. Yeah.
Speaking of Harry.
Ends up in some pretty hairy situations, too.
This is true.
So executive producer, as always, is Mr. Bill Hyde. Todd Busteed was the producer and director on this one. So this one was not done by Mr. John Fornoff. Associate producer, Aaron Fullen. And as always, recorded at the Soundhouse in London. And original music by John Campbell. Now, this one was written by Robert Liparulo, or as he's credited in this one, Bob. And I can't recall, is this his first Hinty script that we've seen? Because previously we've seen him on Lamplighter Theater.
Right.
I am not sure.
We'll have to get the crack research team on that
one. If only somebody had a database of all this information.
In any case, I'm really liking the scripts that he's been writing. He wrote Frozen Fire, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's really good. He's an excellent writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sound design and Foley by Todd Busteed.
Excellent job.
And London casting director was Philip Glassboro. So we got the same, most of the same folks and all top-notch, you know, pros in the industry putting together this production like we normally see from the Heirloom Audio folks.
Mm-hmm. Par for the course.
I will say, though, that I think this is my favorite cover art from the Hinty series thus far.
It is really good.
It's very dramatic. Really, really good.
Very dynamic.
Yeah.
I don't know how a still picture can be dynamic, but
yes, very good. I like how we keep with the themes with the banners
mm-hmm.
running in the background.
Definitely.
So cool.
Definitely.
The flags.
I think out of any other, out of every series that we follow, their artwork is always the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess that's a subjective thing, but right. To me, I like that style a lot.
Right.
Me too. Focus on the Family Radio Theater at times has really good album art. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes
sure.
It's, but every one that I've seen from the Hinty folks has been amazing. Who's the artist that does?
Steve Tyrell or Tyrell. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but Tyrell Creative is the group. They always do fantastic work. I'm really, really liking it. You know, and I bring that up because I think it's something that it's not a part of this audio experience, but I think it's an essential component to making a good product. I mean, especially if it's going to be successful, if you're putting it in stores or whatever, you got to have good artwork and a good cover to grab people's attention.
Even if it's just being sold digitally.
Yeah.
It's still the album art that catches your attention. I mean, if you just have a big music symbol, nobody's just going to skip right over that.
Absolutely. Some of the key cast members, Mr. Brian Blessed, as always, plays G.A. Hinty. Does a fabulous job. And John Rhys Davies from, who is the host of Lamplighter Theater, and has done bit parts, smaller parts over the course of the Hinty shows, now plays a main character.
I knew I recognized that voice, but I couldn't place it. That's awesome.
I was listening, like, he says something, a little, just like a certain line, and I was like, wait, I hear that. That's John Rhys Davies. You can hear him, and I'm John Rhys Davies.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes.
Plays the Marquis. And again, this was an amazing job with that character. And one of the things that I loved right at the outset, so this whole thing is about a young 16-year-old boy who's traveling from England to France to basically, he wasn't really a tutor, but he was going to help these two French boys in a noble family to help them learn English, the English language and some of the English culture and stuff. So there's this whole thing with the English and the French misunderstandings at the beginning. It was so funny. I love that part.
Yeah. What's the phrase he says about the monkey?
I guess it's supposed to be morning. And he says,
good monkey. Monkey.
And then he says, monkeying or something.
And then come to find out, it was just an act a little bit. The guy was just like
trying to make him feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
And another cool thing that I really liked is these characters are all the majority of them, there's only a couple of English folks in the story. The majority of them are French, and they actually use French accents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like in Focus on the Family Radio Theater's Les Mis, they're all speaking with a British accent. That annoys me. Yeah. I still love that audio drama, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I'm like, this is supposed to be in France. Why are we all speaking with British accents?
Yeah.
That is a good point.
And I was listening to it. I was like, wow, this is, the accents are just, it was on some points, it's like, what did they say? You know, because it was just so, it sounded so true to the French language.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. I need to ask JD, are these French actors? Like, are these, like, you know, they nailed the dialect and everything.
And they're
down.
Not French. They're all British actors, British. But they have a dialect coach, though. Yeah.
Right. That's what I was going to say. They had an entire position
to
try to get this right.
Yeah.
Which is something that they've actually done a lot over the last few. And I think even Lamplighter did on mm-hmm. some recent ones.
Yes.
And it's Daniel Philpott who has been filling that role for the last few of these major productions. I really think that's great. I'm glad that they're doing that. And I mean, we're running off topic a little bit again, but the same thing with In Freedom's Cause with all those Scottish accents.
Yeah.
And they nailed all that. So I love how they're doing that.
So did Harry, I mean, I'm sorry, not Harry. Did the actor who played Harry Sandwith also play Harry in the bookend?
I believe so.
Because I couldn't tell that he wasn't an American.
Yeah, he was doing a great American accent.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I didn't even catch on that. That's true. Huh.
Because it in the credits, it only mentions
one Harry
Sandwith and not Sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sandwich.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure, and that's something that Lamplighter has done several times with the book and then in the main drama, they'll use the same actors. He did great. And that was Hugo Docking, and we've heard him a lot in a lot of different stuff. A really great job with that character. But I think overall, there's just so much intense edge of the seat action in this audio drama. It's just, there's one catastrophe after another.
Once it starts, it almost never stops.
It's like Harry saving every one of the Marquis' children from something. You know, he started off with like that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it goes right into the terror.
It goes right into the French Revolution.
Yeah, Harry has to build the trust and relationship with the family and everything. Mm-hmm. And that once that's established, and then we just go, into darkness.
And it's interesting too because of the wide understanding of the French Revolution. We all kind of know what it was in general, if not specifically. So knowing he's in a noble house, knowing the time period, it adds like almost a dread to the story because you kind of see like this can't be good.
Right.
Right. I mean,
yeah, there's a sense of impending doom the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is a noble family and the nobles were just butchered just because of who they were. It had nothing to do with what they had done. There was no trials, none of that stuff. So it was, you kind of have this feeling like, oh no, when's the hammer going to drop kind of thing.
Yeah.
Another familiar name over the last couple of years is Katie Foster Barnes, who plays Marie, the oldest daughter of the family, the French family. And then Molly Stannard, she plays Jeannie, which is the middle daughter. And then we have the youngest, Virginie, who is played by Daisy Philpott. And I loved that little innocent-sounding voice. She just pulled it off. It was so good.
It's perfect.
And then the two boys, Ernest and Jules, both of those actors did really, really great jobs. That was Ivan Tregear played Ernest and Joe. Oh, I can pronounce Joe.
All right.
Joe Rockman played Jules. But just an outstanding cast. Everyone did a phenomenal job with their characters.
Philip Sherlock.
Cannot forget him.
Totally picked him out.
Yes.
Awesome. But still, amazing.
And there's another voice that you said you picked out too.
Cannot forget also Kathy Sarah. She is all over Lamplighter Theater, like almost in every one, I'm sure. Pretty close to being in every single one of them. But, and again, they had these French accents and it was hard. But she, you know, actors have a certain way of saying things, some, you know, and you pick up on it like, oh, that sounds like this person. And then she said something, and I was like, oh, that sounds like Kathy Sarah. And then sure enough, the credits, Kathy Sarah.
Madame Moulin.
Yeah.
Or Moulin. I don't know how you say it. Say Moulin.
We need a dialect coach.
Yeah.
No kidding. So, yeah, we should have done this before, but we apologize for the butchering of the of the correct pronunciation.
I didn't take names. French in school.
Yeah, exactly.
I took French fries.
But, I mean, we know that there's a lot of dark things that happen. And one of the things that stood out to me is the faith of the family.
Yes. Right?
And I just love that one particular scene where, you know, they're going through this crazy stuff. I mean, they haven't done anything wrong. And all this stuff is happening to them. And they take time to just stop and pray.
Yeah.
And I wanted to play the clip of the Marquis' prayer because I felt like I've listened to this thing 3 times now. And the last time I was listening to it, I was driving and I got to that scene and I thought, this is a prayer that we as Americans could be praying right now.
Right.
Like, it fits. It's so timely.
Exactly.
And so I want to play this clip.
Most gracious God, we come before thee with hearts heavy for our beloved country. We humbly beseech thee, calm the storm of strife and discontent in the hearts of our countrymen. Shelter those who are caught in their turbulent misdeeds. Comfort and protect thy children. Help us always to fix our eyes on thy glory, so that we may ever bless thee, praise thee, and love thee, first during this life on earth, and then in heaven for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
Is that not like perfect?
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Definitely.
Just let that sink in for a minute.
I mean, it really is, because I had noticed at other times I had drawn that same parallel when he mentioned things about, or when Harry would be talking about the differences between the American War for Independence and the French Revolution that was going on, and the idea that the difference is only in the fact that the French were turning away from God. And this is what happens when a people turn away from God.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Very true. Very true.
When I first listened to this, and then I told JD, I was like, oh, dude, this is just, it was just awful. You know, there's bloodshed, okay? They dramatize, they do it. And it's like, oh my goodness. And my first, I don't know, it must have just been the mood I was in. It must have been we were on vacation and listened to it while driving or something. But the second time I listened to it, it was a lot easier to, I mean, obviously still horrible things, but it wasn't like as like overwhelming as it was the first time. But those moments are just so intense in this story. And the story wouldn't be the story without those moments,
sure,
of course. But it's just well done and just like, oh, makes you sick, you know, some of these moments. But
there's a lot of death. It's a sad story. This is not a happy-go-lucky, I don't even know how to say it. It's just not, an upper.
It's history.
It's a sad time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's done well and tastefully, I think. I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's gratuitous.
Right.
Or too over the top. I mean, think about the...
It could have been over the
top. Oh, yeah. They could have went way deep into dramatizing these certain moments.
Sure.
You know, there's no scene at the guillotine.
Right.
So, right. I mean, which they could have easily done. That's important, to mention, is that never happens.
I mean, we do have that scene in Freedom's Cause, I mean, where we see William Wallace die, you know? So, true. But I think it's just the... It's just so continual. It's not just a couple of, and it's not. Yeah.
It just keeps happening and happening and happening. You're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it's not also even like battle scenes. Like you can detach yourself a little bit from those kind of things because it's a mass of people that's dying. That sounds horrible.
No, but, I know you know what I mean.
It's just true. Like, it's not personal.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, these are individual characters or individual people that are referenced throughout the course of the story, and it's just like it really hits home.
Yeah.
But I think that the ending is absolutely. It's very a sweet ending.
Yes.
But there's also a little bit of a I started to say it's a little bittersweet, which is true.
Melancholy.
Yeah, yeah. There's some really neat kind of things that happen at the end, like, and this is not to spoil anything, but there's a reference to Cornwall at the end from Harry, and it's just like it kind of ties things back to something that he loved as a kid, and it's just like little things like that that the script just kind of ties up some things, and it just leaves you with a not so much of a depressing ending.
Yeah.
Right. And is this the first episode where there's no, like,
love story?
No romance for the main character.
I was just thinking
there
the
is
same,
a love story.
You were inside my head.
There is a love story, but it's not between, it's not the main character.
No, there's not.
There is Marie and Victor.
But usually, usually it's the guy, right. Jay Henty's like, Harry, yeah. You're going to be in the story. And usually it would be between Harry and somebody else. But this is the first one where there hasn't been.
You get a sense at the end
that
there might be something there.
Something. With, but they don't get they in never, every single other one, they've gotten married or engaged.
Right. And there was nothing like that in this one.
Yeah.
Not to that level.
No.
I mean, you get the sense that there may be something happening somewhere between certain characters who shall remain unmentioned, so as not to spoil anything, but there's nothing said outright.
Yeah,
right? No big
deal. And it's and I wouldn't even necessarily call the thing with Marie and Victor necessarily romance. It's just like it's a part of the story. They're engaged,
right?
And then nothing really changes throughout the story.
Yeah,
it's true.
Usually in these stories, like, the main character finds somebody, falls in love, and they get married.
Yeah, right.
But this does not happen in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good observation. I didn't even
But it kind of fits because of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
True. Switching from, like, acting and scenes and stuff, I'd like to go to sound design just real quick. There's a moment where they're all on these boats.
Mm-hmm.
And these boats start to sink because these plugs pop out.
That was
perfect. Like, how
that was
else?
Amazing
how
sound
do you
design.
Do that? These plugs popping out and the water filling these boats and these boats sinking. It was perfect.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that because I was trying to think of any standout sound design moments, but you're absolutely right. That's the best one in this one. Yeah.
That's my favorite. And when I think of it as far as sound design, that's what I was like, wow. That was just spot on. Spot on.
Mm-hmm. And we can't really say much more than that.
I know. That's why I wanted to be careful with that scene. But you know,
You'll know it when you hear it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's really not a whole lot more we can say about the drama in general either. Because
exactly. Past the first few minutes, the rest of it's all spoiler alert.
Exactly. It's all action. So
You
know, and you don't want to spoil the outcome of the action, so you can't really say much.
Well, this, we can't get in trouble for being a spoiler because Heirloom Audio put this up on their SoundCloud page. So we'll play a couple of minutes from a scene that they posted up there. In case you haven't heard this yet, this will, or it should, pique your interest enough that you're going to want to check this one out.
Come now, children.
Monsieur le Marquis! A mob is out front! They're breaking down the gates!
Everyone go! Out the back door!
I don't want to go!
Harry! Harry!
Monsieur le Marquis?
Here is the address. Get to the river, head north. And here, gold coins. Enough to keep you living richly for months, but don't.
I will spend it only to keep your daughters safe and to live modestly myself.
Spend it as you see fit.
The girls are in good hands, Monsieur le Marquis. You have my word.
Thank you, my dear boy. May I say thank you, my son. Now fly. I will try to store them, but fly. Fly! Fly!
Harry ran down the hallway after the Marquis' children and Monsieur Dutille. Behind him, the banging upon the mansion's front door grew louder and louder. As he ran, he tucked the pouch of coins in his coat. It was heavy, but weighed even heavier on his mind. Harry resolved there and then to protect the family as a Marquis would have. As he had taken the coins, so too had he taken the Marquis' duty to keep his children safe. He reached the family at the back door. They streamed out just as the front door shattered open.
Wait! Wait, everyone! Into the bushes! Go!
There we are! Where are you going?
Wow.
Wow. And that's the other, I failed to mention, but that door, I really like that door of the mansion when they're pounding that door down.
Yeah.
Man, it brings it all back. It's just perfect. And another thing that is just really cool that I noticed, well, just listening to and how much kind of detail, I don't know if this is on purpose, I'm sure it is, but maybe it's just in my mind. And I haven't counted it out perfectly, but that music is going and that music is to a certain tempo. And those door slams, those door knocks and everything is on like, is on beat.
Yeah.
You know, it would sound awful if it was off beat, you know, if it wasn't in the right place, but all their sound effects are hitting on time, which just makes it sound just right. Perfect. Yeah.
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 So. Ingenious little bit of editing there.
Right. Right.
And I think this might be some of my favorite music from John Campbell in this one. It's really, really good.
Maybe we can get the soundtrack for this one. That'd be really neat.
Yeah.
Has Gia Hinti done any soundtracks? I don't think they
Do them as bonus content if you buy those like super duper packages directly from them.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Maybe they'll
be nice
if
those would be in the club.
Yeah.
And again, there's not much we can say more about that scene either because we don't want to spoil the audio drama. But this is a fantastic, extremely well done production. We expect no less from these folks, but it's well worth a listen. So, link in the show notes for you to get your copy.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys, this is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got to email this.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
So I love that we keep having these topics that pop up that just really keep going episode after episode. It's so fun. We get these somebody will say some little thing and then it just everybody chimes in on it. And so we keep on talking about it. It's fun. But Sarah Grace posted a comment on episode 93, tagging on to the whole discussion about the various voices of Mr. Whitaker over the years. And she said, for me, Andrei Stoika is wit. I didn't start listening to AIO until 2 years ago, I think, so he was all I knew for a while. Once I started listening to the older ones, though, I really liked Hal Smith. Thumbs up there.
Interesting.
How can you not like Hal Smith?
Yeah.
She continues, I think Andrei will always be wit to me, as he's the first I heard, but I really like Hal Smith as well. You guys and every other AIO fan will hate me for saying this, but I actually don't like Paul Herlinger that much.
Oh.
I don't know why. Just something about his voice doesn't cut it for me.
Well, we won't hate you.
We don't hate.
No. We'd never do that.
We follow peace with all men.
she's not the first person I've heard say that. But
being wrong isn't that big of a deal, honestly.
I think they all have their different qualities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a little partial to the first two. And of the three, I really, really like Hal a lot.
I think so too.
But she continues, as to Jason getting married, I kind of feel like he is a confirmed bachelor at this point. I think it would change his character too much for him to get married now. I like him the way he is. Now, this is very interesting.
Whoa.
I can absolutely see where she's coming from. I can see, because He might not have that same kind of a carefree aspect to his character if he does get married and, quote, tied down. But I don't know.
So I feel like that it would change the character too much is just an excuse to not do the hard work of creating the character that's right for the person. Because you put Jason with the right person and it wouldn't matter. Like Eugene, his character has deepened and widened since he got married, not changed in a bad way. And that's the other thing too, is like, why do we think that his character changing is bad? Like, how is that not?
It could be, but it could also be positive.
Right, exactly. Like, it could be bad, but it probably wouldn't be. I mean, Jason's already tied himself down by you know, running the antique shop, but he still manages to call in the, you know, the FBI when he needs help or exactly. whatever, you know? I mean, like, he could still do that if he was married. There's nothing that's stopping that. Like, if Eugene is in an episode where he's not with Katrina, he's just like Eugene from, you know, from 10 years ago, except he references his marriage.
But is that not also a little bit weird for him to be still immature Eugene sometimes and when he's supposed to be a...
Not really. We all do that, right? Like,
well, no one's looking.
Like every adult acts immature at times.
You know what?
That's the whole point. You got to take time to be a kid.
Yeah, my motto is adults are kids with money. So
I never heard that before, but I guess it works.
Different toys. That's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it's too much of a cop-out to just say, like, oh, Connie's character would change too much if she got married, or, oh, Jason's character would change too much if he got married. Just do it right, and it won't be a problem. Like, Eugene is not a problem. Wooten and Penny, not a problem. Just do it right.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because it's been well established on this show that I'm not a Penny fan.
True.
And she got even more and more on my nerves through the whole engagement saga. But now, in the recent episodes, specifically the two-parter Swept Away, which is a exclusive club episodes, I wouldn't go so far as to say that she was a delightful character, but she was much less annoying to me. And this is like post-wedding.
Yeah.
So and I didn't think Wooten has changed all that much yet. He still could. You know, yeah. there's still plenty of time for this to turn sour, I suppose. But so far, I'm not having any negative feelings about it. So there's a case study for a character getting married and changes being good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't like, you guys think is there a case study of a character getting married and it being bad?
On Odyssey, probably not. Maybe in other shows or other media, I don't know, but...
Yeah, just do it the right way. There you go.
Which is a tall order, but so? I mean, do it right.
What are you getting paid for?
Exactly.
But to make kids and Odyssey fans happy.
Right. And I'm sure the vast majority would like to see both Jason and Connie married. Like,
what? Like
over... Not to each other. The overwhelming majority would like to see them.
Yeah,
married.
No, not to each other.
I totally took that wrong.
Okay, but here's so here's a question, though. Do you think that Connie would have necessarily changed in a bad way or a good way if she had married Mitch?
I think that's established. She would have left, so it would have been bad. Like, had they rewritten the story such that Mitch stayed in Odyssey, I think it would have been fine.
Okay. Setting aside that part, that plot point, but just in terms of personality.
I thought they were fine.
Okay. Because I did too.
They were different enough
that
they complemented each other well.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that because I think it would have been wonderful. But, okay.
And the chemistry between the actors was there. It was a big mistake in my opinion. As a matter of fact, it has forever soured me on the poor innocent lady who... foisted this whole thing upon us. And I find so often that she writes the episodes that I love, and it annoys me because I want to not like her because of the Connie and Mitch
thing.
That's
funny.
We love you, Kathy Buchanan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, we haven't even made it through Sarah Grace's email yet. Okay. She continues on a similar subject. I was talking with my friend about Connie and who she should marry. She suggested Richard Maxwell. How do you all feel about that? I personally am still rooting for Jeff Lewis, but I can see how Richard would be kind of cool as well. Their characters would mesh really well together, I feel like. What do you guys think? I still think the Jeff thing is pretty cool, so I'm on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Maxwell, she's not the first person I've heard bring this up either. I suppose you can never say to rule out anything, but I'm not necessarily on board for that one.
You know what's funny is the actor who plays Richard Maxwell also played that dude in, was it Back to Bethlehem or whatever? He mm-hmm. was the zealot.
Yeah, yeah,
Judah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
And like, Judah. We know that didn't work. So that's out.
That's very true. Good point. Ooh, good point.
Well, you know who that fellow is, right?
Carlson.
Yeah,
right?
Carlson.
Absolutely. Yeah, the narrator of
Jungle Jam.
Yeah, exactly.
And Gruffy the Bear.
Various voices, of course, as they all are.
Yeah, I'm not so much a fan of that idea, but I mean, hey, I suppose it's a possibility.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Any personal feelings on that one, Andrew?
Nah.
Not a fan either?
Okay. I mean, no, I'm just like, man, I don't really have any feelings. I don't care on that one.
Okay.
I think, probably prefer Jeff Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I think it's a new character solution. I think they need to bring in somebody different.
Oh, for Connie? Interesting.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Okay. I just love the whole dynamic of bringing this dude back from way back in the day.
I like that, too.
And they still have that connection and...
But we still have another the same dilemma we had with Mitch, because Jeff's on his mission trips all over the world, flying places. Right.
But he is a Christian now.
Yes. So now we can get Connie off the show, and we'll have Jules take her spot. And Connie can come back in every once in a while, fly into Odyssey Airport.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing is, like,
and just... the show starts all over again.
Whoa! Yes!
Jules and Buck come back. And that's Connie and Eugene, all moves forward. It's a reset.
It's a that's right.
This is imagination.
Hit the reset button.
What in the world?
And they kill off Mr. Whitaker, and Jason steps in.
Yes, and it's all there. And the uncle that's there.
Yeah,
he could be the Jack, and it's all there.
Wow.
Whoa.
You heard it first on Audio Theater Central.
Another 30 years of Odyssey has just been planned out.
It has. No joke. Totally. No joke.
That's awesome. Except Jules and Buck kind of like each other, so we can't really go.
But Connie and Jean, everyone thought they had something for it. But
that's true. That's true.
It would work. Totally. Oh, my word.
Let me just go on record saying I'm not necessarily in favor of this idea, but I can see that it could work. Oh, wow. Oh, once again, Sarah Grace has incited a long discussion.
So Victoria left a comment for us on episode 93, and she said it felt so good to listen to ATC again. Thank you. Though I did skip the main segment because I like to listen to the audio drama first, so I'm not spoiled for the story arcs. I don't blame you there. We try to do our best not to spoil anything, but it's hard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just my opinion here, and then in all capital letters indicating that she is yelling at us. I don't feel like it's very appropriate. I'll just say that right now. Jason cannot, I won't yell because of the audio issues involved, but Jason cannot marry Monica. And then she says, she ends a rant, but I see a lot of ranting continuing here. They just don't work together. They are too much alike. To be completely honest, from a writer's perspective and with full knowledge of all the options, I think it would work best to introduce a new character into Odyssey who is better for Jason, if they are going to have him marry at all, which, from a fangirl perspective, they should.
Uh-huh.
Jason should have someone who isn't just like him. That was the problem with Tasha and Monica. He needs someone to hold him back just a little, be the voice of reason, be that peace in his adventuresome nature. And I don't mean she holds him back, but that she softens him a bit. She can still be strong, etc., but Tasha and Monica were too headstrong, not Christians, of course, and too much like Jason in their need for adventure. I don't know, just my thoughts.
Hmm.
And we'll pause there, because there's more here, but
yeah.
That's the Jason piece.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot to think about, but she has some good, valid points, I think.
I don't know if Monica and Jason are alike.
Well, don't you think, like, what has it been? 20 years of prison has probably softened Monica up a little bit, maybe.
It's possible.
Good point.
Very possible.
Good point. Plus, like, Monica... Was Monica like Jason?
She didn't have... She was more of the instigator. Like, she was the crook, and Jason was, you know...
Yeah, I mean, two different people.
She's
not really...
But she was a spy also, you know, so that's, I guess I can see there's a similarities of involved in espionage and all that kind of stuff. I don't think to the extent of Tasha. I mean, they were coworkers, so they were very much similar characters.
Exactly.
Although, I still to this day love that character
of
Tasha.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, why don't we just have Tasha come back?
Plus, another mistake.
And Jeff she Lewis. Just have an amazing voice? I can't.
I think so too. Yeah, really,
I can't think of really her name off the top of my head right now, the actress, but I just love that. Her voice was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it fit really well.
Perfect.
I don't know. I mean, I know there's a ton of people who are on board for the Monica thing. I'm not necessarily, I mean, it could, and I would be fine with it, I think, and it could just not happen, and I would be fine with that, too.
Right.
You know what? If Jeff Lewis can come back and be saved and flying around the world, Tasha can come back and have, like, a bus ministry or something. And, like, we'll have a happy life.
Yes. Yes. Bus ministry. That's awesome.
Roy, you're just planning out the entire...
I hope Nathan Hubler's listening. We're doing all your work for you, Nathan. I'm sure you appreciate it.
And Phil, too.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I don't know. I mean,
but you
already, all the random people we've put... Like that mother with the son. Like, yeah. For one episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, there were... Like, they never did anything with that, which, again, is fine. It's just, why? Like, it was kind of weird that it never went anywhere. It was just strange. There was nothing that ever was even mentioned about that again. So, Tasha, Monica, whoever.
Some random lady.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Bring in a new character.
I'm fine with a new character, too.
I don't care. But at some point, and we have to remember that we're thinking of this as... Long time,
well, going,
listeners
going
like
with our
making
current...
the point over and over again that sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah,
is fine, but it like people want happy endings too.
Yeah, that's true.
So you kind of have to play to that a little bit. I mean, just the reality of it. Otherwise, people will get disgusted. Like, are you kidding me? After all this, Mitch goes to Budapest. How ridiculous.
With a wife that is just like him.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yes. That's right. And they seem to be just fine.
In Budapest.
Very, very, very good point. Wow.
All right. What else does she have to say?
Well, okay, moving on. Also, when it comes to the voices for Wit... Personally, when the acting is good, voice changes don't bother me at all. When a character is so true to the character, the voice changes don't change that character. For instance, I have a particular fondness for the Anne of Green Gables books and the Canadian-made movies. Matthew Cuthbert is so good, and the actor who plays him is the best. Someone recently made a remake of Anne of Green Gables, and while I would be inclined to be attached to the original portrayal, the new actor did such an awesome job of staying true to the original character that I found myself loving him just as much. He didn't look the same or sound the same, but to me, he was still so iconically Matthew Cuthbert that it worked. Hope that made sense. Just my two cents here. I love all the Wits.
Good points there, too.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, because... And I think that's kind of what... What started this whole Wit discussion was Micah Touche saying, you know, they each step in, they each bring this thing to the character, just appreciate the story for the story's sake and the voice that it has that character has at the time, and I think you can still enjoy the episodes
as long as it's not so far off that it totally ruins it.
Right, like she said, when the acting is good, and when the character is still the same character and they're able to bring the life to that character in the same way, a difference in voice is not a huge, it's not a deal breaker. So I think those are good points.
Excellent.
And as usual, we found a way to talk about Odyssey on an episode. If you would like to get in touch with us and send in your feedback, you can do so by sending a text or calling our feedback hotline, which is 623-688-2770, or sending your email to feedback@audiotheatercentral.com. A couple of quick tidbits here before we wrap up. Question that we received from a listener, Garrett, he asked us, and I think this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek or just to be funny, but I thought it was kind of hilarious. He said, "Have we ever considered measuring time by AIO seasons?"
Uh-huh.
Example, 1 year is 2 seasons long, so if something is 4 years long, it is 8 seasons.
We have a new calendar. That's what a fan should do. Come up with an Odyssey calendar. So that'd be funny.
That'd be cool.
They have their own months and everything.
That would be awesome. Speaking of calendars and AIO, it makes me think of that New Year's episode of way back in the day with Eugene and Bart playing the characters of the, what was it? Sisogenes the Geek?
Yeah, exactly.
And, that'll take
and Caesar.
Caesar. Yeah. Trying to figure out the calendar.
Yeah.
But I thought that was funny. Also, episode 8 of Shadows and Daylight just recently released. And once again, I was privileged to have a little cameo in this episode. Only a couple of lines, I think. But it's fun. So that series is continuing on. Still free to stream from their website. So check that out. Link in the show notes. And lastly, I mentioned this in the previous episode, but I will be going up to Colorado Springs for the Adventures in Odyssey Get in the Show finale event in just a couple of days. So if you're going to be there, let me know. So I would like to meet you. That would be really cool. I already heard from a couple of people, but would love to meet any of our community members. It would be a blast. So be sure to get in touch. All the usual ways, audiotheatercentral.com/contact has all of the different ways. Well, this was a fun episode. We went from down in the low points of going through the French Revolution to speculating on relationships on Adventures in Odyssey. So
yes,
we ran the gambit in this one. Oh, fun times. Show notes are at audiotheatercentral.com/95. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media. Our theme music was composed by Sam Avendano. The show is produced and edited by yours truly. And our website is audiotheatercentral.com. And for all of you faithful listeners who hang on to the very end, I don't usually like to announce these things just in case something falls through, but this one seems to be pretty likely. But we do have Mr. Philip Glassboro scheduled to be coming on the show for episode 100. So we did hear from several people who said that was a great idea, so thank you for validating us.
Absolutely. Party! We are very excited about that.
Yes.
Aha! That's like the holy grail of British family-friendly audio drama.
It's right. Mr. Tumnus.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Right, right. How are we going to come up with only a few questions to ask?
Yes. So, if you have any ideas of some good questions that we can ask, let us know.
All right, so when I got on the train the other day, and there's a lady comes, sits down on the train. Man sitting next to her turns to her and says, "Lady, that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen." Everyone's on the train like, "Oh my goodness!" And that baby, he goes on. He's like, "That baby looks in a mirror. It's going to shatter." And, you know, just going on and on. "You ought to put a bag on that baby's head. That baby is just ugly."
Okay.
Wow. And so the woman is obviously, she's horrified. So she stands up and shouts for the conductor. "Conductor, this man has insulted me." And the conductor comes running. "I'm so sorry, ma'am." The conductor said, "You know, what he did is totally unacceptable on this train. You know, I will deal with him later. But for now, please come with me. We'll give you a nice seat and first class carriage and a banana for your monkey."
Oh my goodness.
Ah, that's funny. I've actually heard that one before, but I completely forgot about it until you got to the punchline. Yeah.
An adaptation of...
Let's say that.
Yeah. 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 An adaptation. I cannot say this word.
So adaptation.
Thank you. An adaptation. This is about as exciting as watching paint be painted. To steal from Jay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it for the news this time. I'm Roy.
No, that's not it.
No, it's not, they say. It's not it for the news. All right. Is that it for the news?
That's it. Okay. That's actually it this time. You have to flag that as a blooper. That's great.
I don't. You can cut that out, but...
Let's plumb it into this review.
So much for keeping this edit-free.
I gave Shouldn't... up after the newscast.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Okay, here we go.
All right.
How'd you like that segue?
Wow. Yeah. That almost beautiful. Fell off that segue there.
We plummeted right into that.
Yeah. Jumped on the segue and took off. All right.
Snowy, come lay down. Snowy.
You know, well, I'll save it later.
Oh. No, it's not related?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Have we been able to say anything related to this? Anything related to anything else? We haven't held a topic for like 2 minutes at a stretch. Oh, my word.
So here's a question, though. Oh, I lost it again. Oh, no.
The tree's decorated. I guess it looks pretty.
Porch Life Family Media.
Your source for family-centered content.
PorchLifeFamilyMedia.com.